Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. My name is Marion. It is Preakness Day, that is to say, May 21st, 2016. And the Preakness being the second leg of the Triple Crown, it's very important to me that we talk today. And I'll tell you why. Well, you may have been unaware, or you may be aware. You may be one of my friends, or Facebook friends, or LinkedIn connections. So you may know that on April 6th, I had open heart surgery. I wasn't expecting it. A lot of people who have that procedure aren't expecting it, but it happened. So I'll tell you something that happened. That my open heart surgery came about a month after my 60th birthday. And just before my 60th birthday, I dyed my hair purple because it seemed like the thing to do. And suddenly between my purple hair and my black leather jacket, I felt like I was 30 years old again. And I still feel 30. And now even more so, now that I have a new mechanical aortic valve going on in there, so that, yes, I am actually bionic now, which is pretty cool for me. And you will find, if you are not yet 60, or if you've not had open heart surgery, or if you've never dyed your hair purple, you will realize that there comes a point in your life when you just don't care anymore. When you say what you're thinking, and you believe in what you believe. And not that you are stubborn and insistent that you're always right, but, you know, you've lived long enough to have enough experience to know that whatever you believe is right for you. So with that in mind, I'm going to actually to spend this, the next 28 minutes, read, or maybe not that long, we'll see how long it lasts, but I'm going to read to you an article that I wrote this morning and posted on talkofthetrack.com and have cross-posted on social media. But some of you may not like to read, and then others of you may just like to hear my particular snide, snotty form of delivery. Which, as I think I pointed out on Facebook, if I were a man, I would be as famous as Jim Rome as a radio host. But I'm a girl, so I'm supposed to be demure, I think. But I'm not. So here we go. I'm going to read it, and the title of the piece is Pimlico. Wait, bikini contest in the infield? Good marketing? No, really? I'd laugh if it weren't so wrong. And here's the piece from talkofthetrack.com. This article will be my annual railing against the bikini contest in Pimlico's infield on Preakness Day. I'm going to write it. You may not want to read it, so don't. Because I'm not going to change my mind or my heart. And I know, both as a woman in horse racing and as a woman who happens to be a Christian and a feminist, that horse racing never, ever will grow the way we all dream it will until 100% of the horses and humans involved are treated with absolute respect. And think about this. We can't get women onto the boards of directors of most horse racing organizations and racing companies, but by God, we can get them onto the stage at a racing-sanctioned strip club, i.e., bikini contest. Hang on a second here. I'm going to go off-grid. My Bluetooth seems to be busting. I want to make sure you can hear me, as I'm sure you do. So let me just switch from Bluetooth to real life. And here we go.
Side.
So now we've got regular audio. And I sure as heck hope that y'all can hear this. Okay, so the rest of the article. And a bikini contest absolutely screams disrespect for 51% of the human population. So read on or don't. I really don't care. Because what's right is right, and what's wrong is deadly. Oh, yes, it's Preakness Day. 2 weeks after the Kentucky Derby. On good years, we have a real contestant for the Triple Crown, as we have this year with the surreally talented Nyquist. When a horse like Nyquist takes the Derby, our collective blood pressure starts to rise as we fans all cross our fingers and hope that the horse will feel our energy and reward us with a resounding romp to the finish line first. For if he does, well, then we have 3 weeks of ecstatic agony as we await Belmont Stakes Day, the day we see if Nyquist can do an affirmed. Affirmed, of course, as you recall, won the Triple Crown the year after Seattle Slough. Secretary broke the curse in 1973. Then the 70s saw horses like Slough came along 4 years later in 77, and then Affirmed took the American Triple Crown just 1 year later. So we're pumped. By this time as I write this, I wrote this at 6 a.m. Eastern Time, Eastern United States Time, on Preakness Morning. We've all got our spots picked out. Whether we're fortunate enough to be at Pimlico for the unfolding drama, and we're parked in an OTB, our hearts and hopes will ride on the mighty Nyquist back today. But this article, sadly, this article is about the drama that will take place not on the track itself, but rather in the infield of Old Hilltop. This drama is a ritual that's been played out for several years now, and it makes me sick. If you're a woman or girl, or a man who loves and respects women and girls, it makes you sick, too. This ritual is the annual bikini contest, sponsored by Jägermeister. You know, that always appropriate combination, alcohol and nudity, a real crowd pleaser, sure to bring out the very best in participants on all levels. I know it's hard for me to believe, too, that the storied Preakness Stakes, the history, the majesty, the most beautiful athletes in the world, is run by event planners who are determined to drag down the gorgeous second leg of the Triple Crown. How are they dragging it down? This one's simple, readers. Anytime anyone is treated as less than human, we all lose. Females being paraded as pieces of meat in front of thousands of drunks is degrading. The homepage for the bikini contest on Preakness.com reads, "The best women Preakness has to offer." Let's stop for a minute and put this into historical context. I'm going to paraphrase Julia Sugarbaker, the venerable big mouth broad character of the TV show Designing Women. I quote Julia often because I, too, am a big mouth broad. Julia would point out, and so too must I, that if the same blurb read, "The best black men Preakness has to offer," the NAACP, ACLU, and every other group that cares about human rights would step in and boycott the Preakness Stakes and Pimlico itself, as they should. Slavery was a horrible, evil time in American history and never, ever should be repeated or even glanced backward at wistfully. For if some of us are slaves, then we're all slaves. If not to other people, then slaves to money, evil, corruption, lust, pick your poison. Evil affects everyone involved. If it's degrading to African-American people to suggest that a sport be marketed by parading near-naked bodies available for sale, then it's degrading to women to parade them with the same implication. The implication here is smarmy. Many of the same people who would be horrified to witness a 19th century slave auction in Baltimore are perfectly fine, perfectly comfortable seeing women described by their cup size or by phrases such as,
a nice handful there. Oh, yes, it's true. I found a video, I shall not provide the URL for you, of last year's infield bikini contest. And those are precisely the ways in which the quote-unquote master of ceremonies described the Tiffanys, Tammys, and Perkies who strutted across the stage, all Brazilian and winking at the quote-unquote judges. It makes me sick, sad, and angry all at the same time that a group of young women would choose to strip down to 3 postage stamps and parade in front of 50,000 strangers. It makes me sick to think that these are the daughters, sisters, and aunties of people. It makes me sad that Pimlico finds it necessary and a good marketing idea to degrade 51% of the population. And it enrages me that the same Pimlico, while being run by people who love their own mothers, sisters, daughters, and aunties, seem to have absolutely no problem with the concept of taking the female relatives of other people and parading them in a sexual slave auction, all for a buck. The Preakness site states clearly that if you want to actually watch the races themselves, the infield is not the place for you, that a real ticket for other locations on track should be purchased. No, the infield clearly is for partiers. You know, the 20-something boys who wear beer helmets and thinks it's a compliment to grab a random woman to whom they're not even introduced. That's the audience for the infield. No amount of argument from Pimlico's administrators will convince me, or you if you're a thinking soul, that this segment of the audience will be back for the races tomorrow. They'll be too hungover tomorrow to get out of bed, never mind get to the track and place a wager. I know some of you are shrugging your shoulders and passively allowing that maybe this is a viable contribution to the sport's effort to market itself to a wide cross-section of society. And several of you are saying two things, that I am a prickly old woman who's no fun, and that, after all, the bikini contest contestants are there voluntarily, unlike the slaves in 19th century auctions. My response is twofold, of course. I'm not a prickly old woman. I declared myself to be a feminist in 1968 at age 12. And feminism is not in contrast to my faith, which holds both women and men in equal esteem. In fact, feminism is a natural byproduct of genuine Christianity. And the point about the young women who want to be in the contest, that's so simple. They're stupid or selfish. Or just plain mistaken and naive, thinking that this will lead to their big break. Stripping down the 3 postage stamps never has been a quote-unquote feminist statement, as many of these young women would have you believe. Yes, it is their choice. But it's a choice made after drinking the Kool-Aid mixed up by marketing wonks who don't give a damn about them, only about the cash to be made on their shiny, buff butts. So no, it is not a choice that benefits other females because their selfish choice contributes to the perpetuation of the myth that females are just part of the banquet, needy objects laying on the table to savor and enjoy. This myth maintains that females are not invited to the banquet as guests, for how can you be both a guest and a main course at the same time? The part that really flipped my nut was that one of the 2015 contestants was named Rachel. And we all know that in 2009, another Rachel, a gorgeous, buff, 16-hands-high female named Rachel Alexandra, ran her glutes and her guts off and won the Preakness by 3 lengths. No one would dare describe Queen Rachel by her cup size. She'd kick them in the teeth. Queen Rachel didn't get voted Horse of the Year for 2009 because she was a sex object. She got that award for one reason only. She earned it. She kicked the tails of great horses all year and proved over and over that indeed she was the best, a member of the pantheon whose name would be inscribed in the halls of greatness for all eternity. Horses are the only beings who should be naked in a horse race. And even they wear saddle cloths intact. Human females parading their flesh for 50,000 strangers is not a good marketing idea, people. Those who tell us that a bikini contest will bring more new fans to horse racing are lying right to your faces. And horse racing never will soar, never find itself as the first choice for betting or viewing fans, as long as half the population is treated like chattel. I hope Nyquist wins. I hope he wins the Triple Crown. In 3 weeks, we'll see something transpire at beautiful Belmont Park. And I know, as do you, that while the horses in their purity are naked, every human female at that track on that historic day will be wearing clothes. Respect. Just one more reason why Belmont Park is so beautiful. So that's the article I wrote for talkofthetrack.com. You may agree with me. You may not agree with me. You may not really care. But believe me, if you're a female and you have a daughter who's in Pony Club, if you're a male and you have a daughter in Pony Club, if you have a daughter or a cousin or some relative, a niece, who is an equestrian on her college team, then you care about the way people look at them. And if you wouldn't feel comfortable putting your own daughter into a strip club and allowing her, or approving of her dancing around a stripper's pole, why would you approve of somebody else's daughter doing the same to, quote-unquote, celebrate the second leg of the Triple Crown? This is apples and oranges, people. Two different kinds of fruit. A bikini contest has no place in a horse race, just as Secretariat has no place in Double Vision, the strip club in Half Moon, New York, or wherever that is. That these two things should not be confused with each other. There's no natural relationship. And please, if you do nothing else today, and if you're watching the Preakness coverage and they show shots of the bikini contest, please find your moral center. Snicker about it. Don't smirk. Don't take note of how hot somebody is. Think about how sad it is that horse racing has invested so much money in marketing wonks from Lexington Avenue in New York, who neither understand nor love our sport. And so they come up with idiotic, degrading concepts like this one and actually think that we're so stupid we're going to bite and say, yeah, I think that's going to bring more fans and more bettors, and the handle's going to go up. The handle's not going to go up because there are 99% naked young women in the infield of Pimlico. If you think so, you're lying to yourself, too. And denial, as we know, is not just a river in Egypt. So I've really only talked 18 minutes of the 30 that I am allotted by Blog Talk Radio. But that's the only message I have for today, is that go Nyquist. I want Nyquist to win. I want us all to come away from this day joyous and looking forward to the Belmont Stakes, because maybe we're going to have a second Triple Crown winner in a row. I want this to be a safe trip for every horse who races at Pimlico and every other racetrack in the world. And I want horse racing to grow up, to stop acting like a sport that's run by teenage boys, and to get women fully placed. 51% of every board, every racing organization, and every racing company should be filled by females. 51%. And if that thought scares you, you have to ask yourself why. Do females scare you? And if they do, you need to get over it, because we're here. We're not going anywhere. We love racing. We know horses as well as anybody. And all the men I know, all the men with whom I am good friends in horse racing, all the professionals, all the fans, are happy to have us there. So if you are one of the last holdouts who thinks that women shouldn't be on the board of you know, fill in the blank, some company or organization. Well, ring, ring, ring. It's the 1950s. They want their attitude back. So that's all I have to say. Have a great Preakness Day. I'm going to resume operation of Philly Racing Radio, Racing on Rye, this week. It will be broadcast in the evening and archived thereafter. And, yeah, after you've almost died and had open-heart surgery and you turn 60 and dye your hair purple, you become a really brazen big-mouth broad. And I want to point out that I should have pointed out at the top of the hour that none of my opinions, none, zero, reflect those of anyone for whom I work in any capacity. These are my opinions and mine alone. And hopefully, after listening and reading, they'll be your opinions too. Take care, and everybody, God bless. Bye-bye.